Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, we have old friend Evie Lorgan on to talk about a number of issues, a number of pertinent issues, in part due to what's going on around the world. Evie thought it was a good idea to bring forth certain key topics, kind of as, reminders of what it is we're dealing with, the core issues. It's so easy to fly off the handle in seven different directions. Because of all the distractions, the multitude of influencers out there in, the cyber world, the internet, what have you. So we thought we'd, bring it back down to earth, so to speak, but still connected to the greater cosmic multiversal issues that are, confounding us, so to speak. So without any further ado, Evie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to the new year and many new changes and things coming up, which I think are great for us to talk about. Especially the increased numbers of the UFO sightings of many different kinds that they're calling drones, but there are actually many different kinds of things being seen. I wanted to discuss along with part of what had come up with a recent preface I wrote for an Italian author who wrote about dark Cupid types of relationships, that kind of thing. But as writing the preface, I became inspired and remembered things that Barbara Bartholik had shared with us many years ago that I kind of forgot about. And I knew that had been happening as an overall long-term program that might be genetically done over a long period of time through certain bloodlines and abduction programs. And so that was the breeding out of love program, and then how that actually connects with how I perceive the Kefit spirit, which, known in the Gnostic Nag Hammadi library definition, is very similar to what the biblical canonic ones talk about, the adversary. And the adversary in biblical terms would be like Satan or Satans. Which have the quality of stealing, killing, and destroying. But in the Gnostic definition, it was actually much more a fuller definition, which I believe actually decodes a lot of what we're seeing with some of this breeding out of the love patterns and narcissistic abuse relationships that have to do with counterfeit, which obviously that, oh, to counterfeit or to copy something that is not the original. And then also to pollute, as in corrupt and infiltrate, pervert, invert, which so counterfeit could be the original fallen angels they wanted to copy themselves within the human population through hybrids so that they can still access our powers of sons and daughters of God who have a voice which can speak curses or blessings and create. So they lost the ability to do that through voice creation, like humans. So they sought to copy us out, but fill us with their counterfeit spirit, which has the quality of corrupting, infiltrating, just changing it here and there, here and there, here and there, until you copy out the original blueprint. And so what happens, long story short, we can fill in the blanks as we go. The counterfeit spirit has the quality to deceive, to manipulate perception, and to copy out or switch and change or alter the original so that we start normalizing that which is the copied out or the changed or the GMO version until we no longer remember or can really discern what the original is or was, and then normalize the counterfeit in all its permutations. And this can happen with many things, including belief systems, memories, our reality, our history, our identity. And so this is what I think is happening. And how it really shows the blueprint in terms of dynamics is in classic narcissistic abuse by, let's say, the classic overt narcissist personality that will love bomb, devalue, discard, go through this cycle. And then when our perceptions of their behavior, which is essentially doesn't feel good over time, it actually hurts, then they gaslight you to tell you, oh, what you're perceiving is not true, it's something else. So they erode your original awareness of the original perception of truth that they're trying to hide, corrupt, and lie about so that they can copy out your identity, your history, your discernment, so that you become one of them, one of their little MK Ultra puppets or their alien consciousness in a human body that now wants to identify with being an alien hybrid or whatever, or a Nephilim or whatever this or that. So I'll just say that and then we can go from whatever direction you might want to go in.
Just to elaborate on the point you made, we see that all across the board, this counterfeit spirit that has taken over. Some liken it to AI, some liken it from the Gnostic perspective to the demiurgic spirit. But what we're seeing are people like acting out and behaving towards a program of some kind. And you see this all across the board. One would think that with the advent of smart devices, what an oxymoron that is, that the IQ level would increase because people would have the ready availability to access a lot of information that they ordinarily wouldn't be able to access, factoring in issues of extreme censorship nowadays, what have you. There's still a means for people to go out and get information that they require or they're seeking. If they just put in a little effort, or they have the internal wisdom, the internal guidance to prompt them to do so. But what we're seeing is the complete opposite of that. My friend and colleague over here, Kate Moss, she put this video out on Facebook where a guy fell off the train platform onto the tracks. The sign on the platform said, incoming train 2 minutes. Not one man on the platform moved to help this person. In fact, it was a
Wow.
couple of women that jumped down, tried to get the guy
Really?
out.
Oh,
Point
wow.
being is that that is the nature of this self-absorbed, narcissistic, lost in their own delusional thoughts syndrome that we see all across the board now. We're seeing it with crazy motorists causing all kinds of problems. We're seeing it with unruly students, unteachable, not having a teachable spirit. We're seeing with the extreme narcissism, people putting out these selfie kind of vlogs, TikTok, Instagram kind of update, having to tell you about every little aspect of their life, and especially those with a narcissistic bent, just using social media as a means to give vent to their own like base impulses, give vent to their own self-indulgence, right? Nothing constructive about it. It just gives you an idea of the inner workings of their mind. And the point I'm trying to make here is that that is so far removed from our original core essence of who we are, the ability to discern, divine the intentions and capabilities and what have you, because we are in a warfare arena now, for absolute sure. For a long time, we were building up to this stage. But what we've seen across the board in society is what the KGB defector Bezimov talked about, the demoralization of society. We're seeing that all across the board now. And the drones itself is having such a psychological impact, especially on surface level truthers, blue beamers, etc. It's really doing a number on them. And it's bringing out all these narcissistic traits. Don't fall for it. I'm here to tell you this is all fake. This is a blue beam, fake invasion. Oh, look, they talked about this on the Simpsons. It's just so easy to manipulate these people all across the board. Meanwhile, the strangeness factor is going through the roof, right? So, what we're here to do is talk about, how to get rooted, grounded back into our central core essence where we can navigate through all this and recognize deception and falsehood. We talked before coming on about how people in the abduction community, and I say that, the lack of a better term, people have had alien abductions. So many of them are so quick to tune in or identify with a certain type of ET, right? Oh, well, these are Nordics, because they look like us. of necessity, they must be good. Well, not necessarily. Some of these Nordics work hand in glove with the reptilians. Some of them work hand in glove with these marauding greys. Some of these Nordics are actually shifting reptilians, right? It's all part of the pacification agenda. So this is a necessary prerequisite from the standpoint of a conquest,
Oh,
that
yes, right.
the people have to be pacified at some level. Each segment of society will be manipulated in a certain way based on their personalities, their psychology, what have you. And we're talking now at this point, multiple generations of programming, societal conditioning. I mean, look how many people just are totally dismissive of the whole concept of aliens and non-human beings. It's, and many of these people call themselves Christians. It's like they never even read the Bible, right? And then if you just set that aside, the Old Testament, New Testament, all the signs and wonders, notice how, in the Exodus story, Moses, Egypt was beset by all these plagues, right? By God. If you look at, we were talking about William Bramley's great book. It's so apropos for today, The Gods of Eden. I recommend everyone read that book again. Jeff Brady and I were talking about this, that, with the prior to and the onset of the plagues, the Black Death, there were all kinds of UFOs and craft being seen in the sky, spraying, what we would call now chem spraying, right? And what are people reporting today? They're saying some of these craft, well, we know that there's been a chemtrail agenda, which I'm satisfied is an alien agenda, but some of
Yeah,
these
that's just
so-called drones are actually spraying and stuff.
yeah.
People
I
are getting
mean,
sick, right? So
exactly.
please.
Yeah, I mean, it's gosh exciting because I remember the William Bramley thing years ago, and I'm thinking when I heard the home this guy named who does this homesteading channel, who's an ex-military guy who has his own property somewhere in Virginia, was talking about drones because they had seen unusual aerial phenomena in and around his property and his area, and then becoming ill, like really ill for 3 days, along with like a neighbor, an adjacent property, and also his wife, who had unusual physical symptoms that included, too much gynecological bleeding that was abnormal for that type of the month or for what normally happens for her. So they kind of got on to like, could these drones and these lights actually be involved with abductions? So we started actually getting, people to send in their stories who have never shared before. So I don't know if he had read, the Bramley stuff, but this could be part of another, see, oh my God, there's so much to this. But when society changes significantly, they can do this. Like the plague actually created a big shift in how society arranged itself and how the social structure was built around more of a tribal community. And then following the Black Death and the plague, and I read this in actually another course of study in history when I was in Canada. I just happened to read it, and that actually changed the whole course of societal structure post Black Death. And I think it was deliberate because I think what happened after that was there was always some kind of central authority that took its position as a type of panopticon, like one would see in a prison where, they would be able to look over the whole prison and know if anybody escapes, so that people didn't have that central authority always watching in the same way within their societal structure. So everything changed since the Black Death, but the person who wrote this in history had no idea about the Bramley findings about who really instigated this. So when we take it forward to today, and some people are becoming ill and they're actually having experiences, it goes back to the reality that there are some interfering beings who are coming through the, let's say, what precedes an experience is often an orb of light, like an orange one or a red one or different colors, or sometimes it 3D materializes or they just materialize in your room. But nonetheless, a lot of times physical things happen, after those encounters, which is obvious for anybody who studies abduction. So I just wanted to mention that because that's happening. And when this man on the homesteading channel was saying, getting the stories and then posting it on a YouTube they censored a large bit of it and had to do it under review. So there was many, many, like hundreds of comments from people who reported this abduction thing. So there's many, many more people. So this isn't just a blue beam thing and it's all fake. And but I think there may be stuff that's obviously manned from secret projects that are trying to cover up this. And I've actually heard this from another person I want to mention later. But I wanted to mention the one thing that has come up in many abduction testimonies where maybe more deeper involvement of investigation happens. And this happened with some cases that Barbara Bartlick had investigated that I wrote about in The Dark Side of Cupid, which are very, they're old cases. You know, all these people are deceased now, actually. But it was the Mary Henry case. And, you know, she had some major missing time with some beings on a craft who resembled Nordics, who had like a skull cap kind of weird hat and different kinds of clothes. But initially she was fearful. And then there was a pacification that occurred by being in the presence of these beings, and then there was no fear. And they cured her arthritis in her hand after that particular major, you know, abduction. But then later, as she investigated more and more, come to find out that there were many different beings involved in her experience, that there was a pacification process happening and a deception through different beings and the appearance of different kinds of beings. So move forward to the incident that this Kevin man on the Homesteading Channel shared, a woman who had abductions like years ago. And it was, I think it was preceded by orbs of light, where alien grays appeared in her living room, and I'm just paraphrasing, and so I would go back to this guy's channel to listen to what he said. But a woman encountered the grays in her living room, so she wasn't paralyzed. She was up physically and saw these beings, right? So immediately her instinct for the predatorial thing that's going on was to like fight and kick ass and like hit him. So she did. And usually you don't hear much about how people are effective at like fighting, like touching and hitting the aliens or causing some kind of physical thing. So she did that, and then she blacked out, but then I guess they made her black out after that, and then woke up with like a swollen hand, and was like she really did hit them because her hand was like all swollen. So the next time they come, and in her living room again, she goes and tries to do the same thing, like kick ass, start hitting them, you know. And then she hears a voice saying, "Stop, you know, don't hit them. They're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Nothing's wrong." But it was a female, I think it was a blue-haired, tall Nordic being appeared to pacify these vibrations of peace and no fear and love, and actually proceeded to make a type of, I don't want to say a deal, but a type of arrangement so that if these beings come again, then this won't happen in the same way. She won't hit them, she won't remember, or something to that effect. But what I'm seeing in this, oh, well, the benevolent Nordic shows up because she's kicking ass on the grays, and the grays can't keep their cover. So who has to show up? The pacifier, right? So we think they're good and they're loving and everything's so wonderful. But no, this is another part of the good cop, bad cop pacification program. So I believe
What
something like
Barbie
that.
called the production, you know, the stage
Oh,
production.
wow. Yeah, and then in fact there was things that this man had mentioned in some of the testimonies that he was just reading off emails about different beings, and I'm not sure which ones, but where there's several different types, and there one might be one like hanging out in the back who's like taller, like the one in charge wearing the purple cape. And that reminded me of the Ted Rice case with many different beings, and then the head honcho like lurking in the corners, that tall, you know, purple caped being. So there's that. There's many different types of appearances they may take, and sometimes playing this good cop, bad cop kind of thing to kind of either pacify or distract us from going deeper. And that's what I think is happening personally. Yeah.
There is a tendency for those who've had encounters with different types of beings to view them as separate. Well, this is one group I'm interacting with. There's another group I'm interacting with. This group does these kinds of things to me. But, and I'm not saying that those things don't actually occur. But what we often see is when we zoom out, a lot of those beings are in cahoots together. Because in some of these, and so much of the abduction literature, so much of the thinking, the thought, the understanding of the abduction syndrome comes from certain individuals who pushed the gray hybridization, gray hypothesis, human grays. It was all grays. People like David Jacobs, for example, this is one example of this. Whereas, we know, and Barbie knew that, wait a second, when you really dive into this, when you peel back the layers of illusion and deception, there's a number of different ET groups that work together. To be sure, some of the worker bees, so to speak, are probably worker bees, cosmic vassals, either bioengineered, created to perform certain tasks. Others may be, separate races that may not have been genetically hybridized, but have been subjugated in some way and forced to be cosmic vassals to do the heavy lifting, like the Greys, for example. They do a lot of the work for the reptilians. And what's happened, what we've figured out is when you really delve into some people's encounters, you find that there are some instances, experiences that have been completely blocked from their conscious memory. But when Barbie, for example, would peel away the layers, it's, all these aliens are together. There's mantis beings, there's grays, there's Nordics, there's reptilians, all in the same setting, all in the same location, whether it's an installation, a space station, underground base, an off-world base, whatever the case may be. A lot of times, these beings that some people tend to view separately are actually working in cahoots. So that's another thing that we must take into account. It's not as cut and dried as I'm having encounters with different types of beings, and they're each doing their own agenda. They're each working with me for a different set of purposes. So to some degree, that may be correct, but there seems to be some kind of mutual understanding, but amongst these groups of beings working with a given individual. And so I just thought I'd throw that out because the point you made where the Nordic comes in, pacifies the lady, and this is not making a value judgment or being critical of the woman. I mean, her testimony is invaluable in this regard because the what I'm gathering from what you're telling me about the comments being sent to this Kevin guy, and I'm really going to plug into his channel, those are almost the best types of testimony to get because a lot of these people, they don't have to filter their testimony through all these influencers, podcasters, all these books. This is just what they see, what they experience, what they feel. That's some of the best testimony you can ever get, right? And so when this woman says, well, the Grays came along, I started trying to beat them up, which I don't have any problems with myself. Like Candy Turner used to talk about this, about fighting these beings, right? And then they come in and they send a Nordic to pacify her. That is classic. And in the, what was the name of the place in Indiana? Barbie did this case study where in the 1950s, as far back as the early mid 1950s, this three generation family and a homestead in Indiana, they all had a family abduction. And then the military showed up, if you remember, and they kept the family in house quarantine for 3 days. The military psychologist went to town on them, mind controlled them, what have you. That was a similar situation. And similar to the Ted Rice thing, where, these Nordic beings were working with Greys, and the Nordics were used to pacify the people there, right? And so there's definitely a pattern. This is not no longer a small sample size of these Greys, rather these Nordic beings coming along. Because they appear human, or mostly human for that matter, automatically, and whatever kind of love bombing, whatever similar in a way, and maybe not as extreme as the mantis beings, but this ability to influence them through strong emotions, energetically created strong emotions, the ability to impose their will on others, they pacify them, love bomb them, calm them down, and then that basically opens the door for even more intrusions, more abductions, what have you.
But what was interesting, I thought, is that this woman actually had unique characteristics that is not common actually for a lot of the abductees. I only remember a few cases where they were actually able to arise with their natural instinct and bypass the manipulation of perception. And like a natural instinct to a predatorial thing that intruding is like fighting and defending. And that's actually an appropriate response in some cases. But some people, it's like they switch them off where they'll cause you to become paralyzed. But if I remember correctly, I mentioned this before in the K.T. Frankovich Lime Grove encounters experiences, probably back in the 90s, where she had encounters with a different type of alien. It was actually a somewhat like a gray, but different. It was more muscular and it had six fingers. I don't know if it had six toes, but it was kind of like floating, running, and its normal ability would be to telepathically kind of subconsciously manipulate your perception so you don't notice them and what they're doing and what they're going to do, basically. But she just noticed it right away and didn't respond in the normal ways of perception manipulation, which means she's a unique person who has a unique perception and ability to not be manipulated, maybe in the same ways. So that's actually a unique quality to have, because one of the things that Dr. Corrado Malanga, and he's not really well understood in the American abduction research community, but he always said that the will of the soul is compromised, or they can manipulate our will and our perception so that the will of our natural instincts is dulled down. So this is where I still think the counterfeit spirit comes in. And if we know what the real is and what the counterfeit is, the real is going to say no and want to set a boundary, basically. But if that perception is not perceived or discerned, then it's easy for them to just come and infiltrate and manipulate until, they copy out your memory and your identity, and then you become, one of their helpers. And some people are actually used in abductions to help abduct others and to pacify others, because I know I've heard this before.
Absolutely. Remember that guy, Joseph, that I had a confrontation with because he was getting on my nerves in our support group meetings way back when. He said that in the first meeting he had, the first support group meeting he attended, Howard, our old friend Howard, showed up a little late, right? And the Joseph guy, his jaw dropped because he'd seen Howard before. And in the context of an abduction experience where Howard w walked into the operating theater where the ETs were working on this Joseph guy, and Howard was holding a tray of instruments, right? Now Howard, if you remember, he was anti, alien, anti, deep black military because of all the mind control and abuse he was subjected to back in the day, as anybody. But it just shows that even someone with a conscious persona of being anti, abuse, anti abuse from any quarter, human or alien, right? How they could subvert his will and use him essentially as an aide or as an intern almost, in this alien abduction medical procedure. And Joseph said, "Well, I've seen that guy before. He was holding a tray for these aliens." And people get the wrong impression of, "Yeah, I had an experience and this guy was working for the aliens, he's evil, and now he's doing podcasts." No, that doesn't mean that he's evil or she's evil. It means that they were momentarily subverted and used against their will to do something that they normally wouldn't do, right? Now,
Or they,
there are some people that willingly will work for the aliens, like this Joseph guy, right?
oh
And that's a
yeah,
whole
because
nother
they
story.
go and make them feel important, and there's just all that kind of stuff. It's so much manipulation through mind control. But then they could fake someone's image. If you're not aware, they can use someone else's image and make you think it's someone else. So you always have to go deeper and not assume everything until you really go deep in your own investigation. It's just, I wish it was more cut and dry and easy, but it's not. And it kind of concerns me how easy the mass public can be manipulated to have black and white or the multiple choice answer quote question of derivations of what they think something is based on what they're being told and manipulated to believe. So it always goes back to how do we go back to an original perception of original truth that hasn't been infected polluted by the counterfeit that's always trying to come in and just tweak things a little bit and change things and corrupt things until you start normalizing that which is corrupt. And that happens behaviorally in multi-generational abuse. I mean, we see that all the time with narcissistic abuse, war-torn families, certain cultures, alcoholism, incest, whatever it is. There's certain behaviors that just normalize, and you just don't know any different until you get out of that conditioning or out of those relationships to find out what's truly healthy and good, and then get out of that. So, and that's how I think they breed the love out of us. I think there's something more to just behavioral conditioning, though. I think there's something more, and this goes into it's kind of creepy. This was mentioned on a, his name is Mac Azura, I think that's the name he's using, on a Michael Sala interview with an abductee recently, who talked about experiences with the bat-winged reptilian types that are kind of like a Mothman, but Draco reptilian, that quality, and really scary, malevolent Draco reptilian things. And he might have had the grays too, but he had a twin brother, and him and his twin brother were having experiences. So long story short, he does a bunch of regressions to find out what's going on, because it was very, very stressful. And they found out that I guess the alien grays were doing a type of soul scalping procedure where they're literally pulling out soul essence of people and then storing it in these like glass jars or something on a craft or whatever, wherever they're storing it. So they're storing soul pieces and fragments of other abductees, and then using those soul fragment consciousness fragments to put in the hybrids so that they have a soul. So they build their souls through thefted soul fragments of other abductees. So this brought me to like, oh wow, this is very similar. For example, this is why like a mother who's have a hybrid child, let's say, and maybe that hybrid child, the reason why the bond is strong, maybe it's they took your part of your soul and put it in the child, and then of course you feel this love connection. So this can also be where if you get soul fragments from someone else. And I believe that this happens, and this creates confusion for alleged past life memories, believe it or not. And this is what Malanga brought up, but people aren't getting it because they're thinking, well, that I was a Draco in my past life, or I was this alien, or I was that alien, I have all these memories. But it could be that you're getting soul fragments of other people who might have, that being could have been hosting, right? Because they thefted their soul fragments, and then you get the memories of that being who had that soul fragment, or you have the soul fragment memories that you actually think are your own. So it could create confusion and identity. But to bring this back to something else I heard that was similar, and this has to do with some of Amanda Baez's work with ritual abuse survivors, satanic ritual abuse, and Luciferian families, like family systems. And how they would use something called the blue dust or the blue soul dust. And it's like, it's, I don't know if it's the original dust light of the person, like a soul light quality or whatever, or if it's the Luciferian shrouded soul essence that they could shatter and then put in many different dimensions or people so that you can have like a soul twin soul, what do you call it? Twinning with another person, or you can be able to go in all these different dimensional realities and portals because a part of that blue dust that belongs to you is in all these different locations or people. And then you have connections with all these different people who actually have your soul shards and fragments in this dust. So it's something similar that I think that they can do by manipulating the soul fragments or the dust in some way that they can create these connections and maybe even false memories to a certain degree. So that's where, like, well, how do we know? Because like this man who was on Sala's show, I remembered what came up in the regression was basically being a past life as a reptilian, if I remember correctly. And that part of the activities was to vampirize off other people, like taking their soul and then accruing all this soul essence energy through vampirization, whatever they're doing. And then trying to take that soul for themselves so they evolve and build and develop a soul. And like, that doesn't sound right to me. It sounds like, well, they're just soul thefting, but they're getting the memories and identities of the soul parts they took. And then if that entity was connected to him, he might have the memories of the entity and the soul shards that he took from others and then take that on. Oh, well, that was me in a past life. That may not be true. It actually might be the entity that was messing with him through his bloodline. Was like what we call the active alien memory that's inserted in the consciousness of an abductee, according to Dr. Corrado Malanga's understanding. And then that we actually have those memories because that's inside of our brain or consciousness until you switch it off and you make it passive so that it's no longer vivified by our life force of our eternal spirit. So that whole idea was for recovery from this abduction phenomena was to switch off their memory or their fragment of consciousness that's embedded in us so that it can't work its will through us or use us as a puppet to vivify their consciousness and their identity. So we just switch it off and disconnect them from our eternal soul and it stays passive. So that's basically what you would want to do instead of. What I think is happening, and we mentioned this before the show, is there's a lot of identity issues and illusions or perhaps misperceptions that might happen with abductees or MyLabs because of taking on alien identities and or this is my galactic family, I'm really this alien, or I remember being this or that, but we don't really know if this is a fragment of consciousness that's taken from another being that's attaching itself to us. So I think those things could be happening, and we don't know until we really reconnect and restore any dissociation parts which happen through trauma. You know?
There's a couple of parallel aspects to that. If you look at it from the organ transplant, blood transfusion aspect, people have reported once they've taken on someone else's blood, someone else's organs, they begin to have spontaneous memories of what
Yes.
that person experienced. And then if you look at the Mia Adams, the X Cycles author, you remember her story,
I love
where
my book.
the love, she was in the You Love By book, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm explaining this correctly, they took the mitochondrial DNA from another woman and put it in her ovum, or it was the other way around. But at
They
any
took her
rate,
egg. Yeah, they
go
took
ahead.
her egg. It contains basically, they took her egg. They harvested her egg, and it was actually military who helped do this back up, I don't know, in the 50s or the early 60s, whenever it was. And then once they harvested the egg, then what they can do is take out the well, it hadn't been har it hadn't been. They just put DNA of two other parents from a conception into the eggs because the egg creates the body. So they just basically substituted the autosomal parents and then kept the original genetic mitochondrial DNA from the ovum, which is the original mother, because they didn't use her autosomal DNA, just the mitochondrial DNA. So basically this hybrid abductee, who was the FBI agent in the Love Bite setup, right? He had three parents, the autosomal parents from the in vitro fertilization of her egg, and then she was the mitochondrial donor. So she was the mitochondrial mother, and then he had two other parents. But the study of the aliens supposedly was to study the non-tangible energetic connections between people to see what how strong a bond is with let's just say just with the mitochondrial DNA. So you actually so there was a strong connection. I mean, it was a love bite, for crying
On the
out
love
loud.
bite. And so, if I remember the story correctly, naval intelligence, an element of naval intelligence that was observing this, and they may have had a hand in what you just described, they were appalled at the prospect of her having an intimate relationship with this guy, this FBI agent, who really, in the overall scheme of things, you zoom out, was her son, essentially, right? And so they didn't want this kind of incestuous relationship to happen between Mia and this FBI agent she was bonded with in this alien love bite setup. It was an interesting story, but to your point, it's an example of how the information field, as David Icke would call it, right? Drawing whether it's from an organ transplant, blood transfusion, genetic manipulation, like you were talking about, how that can have an influence on our emotions, our memories, and our behaviors. And I'm also
Yes.
reminded of Kenneth Grant's book. He was a, devotee of Crowley,
Crowley.
said,
Yeah, I
yeah,
remember
and
I wrote a letter to him one time. Man, he was really
I think he sent you back a nasty gram or something, didn't he?
nasty. Because I wanted him to comment on the love bite because it had to do with love obsessions that resulted from something that was really a magical operation, which it is. It's just that it's done in a different way with aliens, and I don't think any magician would want to admit to the nefariousness of really what they're doing, basically.
When Crowley himself said that he was in contact with aliens, right? And the purpose, but I'm not, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but the purpose of, creating the circle or the pentagram, the stand within, it's an outward metaphor, a manifestation of being earthbound, an enthralled individual, an adept, a warlock, a magus, connecting with the cosmos, the multiverse, right? So there's even an ET component, right? And one could argue, and we've had discussions. I remember in the old days, Tal Levesque used to talk about how Enochian was the language of the grays, which wouldn't surprise me, right? But anyway, getting back to Kenneth Grant, in his books, he talked about how when the Kundalini was activated in the Scarlet Women, they would place these coin-shaped metallic objects along the chakra point. And then when the
Really?
Kundalini was activated, these coins would absorb the what he called ohas, this kind of
Okay.
energetic Kundalini essence, which could be stored and used later for whatever purposes, right? So the point of relevance is it's yet another example of how, the human body can be activated or triggered in such a way that an energetic essence of the person being triggered can be absorbed by an adept and either used at that moment. We see this all the time with reptilian rapes, for example, where the reptilian would rape the woman, and in many instances, not always, but in some instances, engender a strong Kundalini, orgasmic effect, right? Well, in these rituals that Kenneth Grant was talking about, they would induce this Kundalini rising in the Scarlet Woman, and then they would place these coins, metallic coin-looking things, along the chakra points, and the coins would absorb the what he called the ohas to be used, later. They would be stored essentially, like a battery, right? So, all that is relevant to what you're talking about. I guess there's different ways of doing the same thing. So, the danger that I see is over-identification with something, right?
Yes.
Like, for example, we see this a lot with the alien love bite setup. Well, I've got a past life thing with them, and we got to work things through. Well, who says? Even if they really had a past life thing with them, and if you peel back all the layers and you get really deep into past life regression, and it was a toxic, dysfunctional relationship, why would you want to spend another lifetime going through that? That doesn't even make sense. Like, ooh, I remember you from a past life. Piss off, pal. You know what I mean? That would be my reaction, right? But
Yeah.
for others, it's like, well, we gotta work things out. Well, what's the genesis of that motivation? Is it really the individual who's saying, no, we've got to work this through and figure out all these karmic issues and resolve them? Or is there something working through that, in our example, a woman, let's say, working through her in order to form that enmeshment with the other love bite partner to keep the whole cycle going, right?
There's so many, I think, manipulations being done to, well, through guilt or shame or obligation or kind of like an endless goose chase of basically finding out, well, it could be alien history or all these things in your past lives, or it just throws you off in this wild goose chase that I think is a distraction from always going back to the original, which will give you all. I mean, to me, it's like, the Holy Spirit, it's like your original soul connected to Christ, connected to the all. That gives you the truth as long as we reconnect with the original instead of the deviation. But we get caught up in the distractions of the deviations, which in our world, I think we have so much of that. We kind of we're losing that authentic connection, which is really represented with AI and a lot of the digital technologies and the way behaviors and socialization is changing now. And there's more autistic, for example, autistic spectrum people, and more well, lack of emotional intelligence behaviors, which I don't know if you would agree with some of the things that have been described, even in your early interviews with some of the I don't know what the name of the man and the woman was who dealt with the human alien hybrids that were they were basically trying to train to be like normal on Earth and trying to show them how to live, but they were like off, or maybe they didn't look quite right, or they acted very emotionally unintelligent, or in fact, even psychopathic and abusive. And so this is what I think that Barbie probably saw that would be more of a obvious breeding out of the love, because if we're going to normalize these psychopathic, lack of emotional intelligence, narcissistic behaviors, and that kind of behavior, that's not good. I think that would breed out love of the human race, and that would not be good.
Like I said, we're seeing that all across the board now, where somebody's there struggling for their life, they're drowning, or they're getting beaten up by a bunch of people. The tendency is, I'm just going to videotape this, right? What happened to empathy? What happened to compassion? What happened to caring for your fellow person? That's all gone by the wayside now, and you see it in, I don't want to digress too far, but I'm just looking at it from an observer standpoint. If you look at how social engineering and cultural Marxism, which to me are alien, they're alien ideologies, because like you said, to your point, they pull us from our original selves, our original source connection, and they plug us into this weird alien kind of ideology of narcissism, hatred, rage, what have you. And this has been foisted through these school systems. If Trump really wants to turn this swamp around, the first thing he should do is just cut off all federal funding to all these indoctrination centers called school, from grade school all the way up, because they're just churning out people who can't even do simple arithmetic, people can't even read an analog clock, people who are so disconnected and just full of rage, right? There's no point getting rid of the Federal Reserve and fixing all this other stuff. If these schools are allowed to flourish, these indoctrination centers that keep churning out these loveless, hate, rage-filled, stupid people, right? And to me, that is part of this alien agenda. It wasn't like that before. That's a recent development. It didn't take long. This whole communist, mistakenly referred to as atheistic ideology, because in all likelihood, Karl Marx himself was a Satanist. So when I look at, for example, like the National Basketball Association, right? Basketball. When I was a boy, it's like the sport was entirely different. It was more physical. There were a lot of plays being run. The players played tenacious defense. Now you look at, and I don't watch, haven't watched the NBA for decades now, because precisely what I'm talking about. But you look now, just like the indifference and the apathy of the players. They make no effort on the court. They don't play defense. They just stand there with their hands at their side, and they don't even contest the shooters or obstruct them or do anything. It's just all they do is they shoot these long 3-point shots back and forth and up and down the court. It's just one former player, B.J. Armstrong, used to be with the Chicago Bulls back in the day. He said they're just like robots now. These players are just like robots, and they're unteachable. They don't have a teachable spirit. When players from the old days wanted to teach the players of the day how to play the game correctly, they're all, "I'm good, man. I'm good. No thanks."
Well,
Point of
yeah.
relevance is, if you zoom out, that mentality, that unteachable spirit, that lackadaisical, apathetic, self-centered mentality is all across the board now, right? Now, people like that will not fight. People like that will not stand up. And I talked about this with, who was it, Dan Armstrong or somebody in the recent past of one of my shows, where there was a guy in Sweden, a country that's completely been taken over by a by an alien rape invasion. That's what's happened, because I'm not going to get into it in this segment, but I can definitely see how certain cultures have totally, for centuries, by ideology, by consanguinity, inbreeding, genetic engineering, and what have you, they some of these cultures are just like monstrous. They're just violent, rapacious, what have you. And this guy in Sweden is videotaping with his phone this jihadist climbing up a ladder with a long dagger, right? Now, in the old days, what I would have said was, oh, honey, we've got an invader, get the pot of boiling tar going. We've got company. Yeehaw, right? Okay, at the very least, I would have tipped the ladder over. And
Yeah,
then,
for sure.
as he's laying there, I would drop bowling balls and, potted plants and, old TVs that don't work anymore, right? Go down there and finish him off. What did this guy do? He kept filming him until he climbed to the top of the ladder, got into the terrace, and started wielding his dagger. Okay, so a point of relevance is the self-preservation is not even,
Instinct.
hardwired. The instinct to self-preserve oneself is not even. They're so disassociated and disconnected from their true self, they're filming their own demise. Because the guy got
That's
stabbed, right? Him and his family members, women, the instinct used to be to protect, right? That's why walls were used to be a common feature of every settlement going back way back when, to keep the
true.
invaders out. And these people don't even know when the invaders are in their midst, even when they're from another culture, don't look like them, climbing up a ladder with a long dagger. Okay,
Well,
that's not just breeding out the love, it's breeding out intelligence too.
that's reading out the natural instinct that would be preservation of the human race, you know? But it kind of made me think of the Dr. Jack Cruise, the neurosurgeon who really talked a lot about how the blue light that is from the digital screens and LED technology as well is actually being used to amplify the MK Ultra mind control optogenetic influence on our consciousness so that we're more easily controllable, and it excites the brain waves in such a way that we don't sleep as well and actually makes you gain weight. And there's all these bad effects of the blue light that comes off our screen, and be doing that all day long, you're entraining yourself in a whole shift in neurochemistry and consciousness, which I think is part of the programming. And he talked about this in one of his really long interviews, and I think we might have mentioned this on one of our shows, maybe it was another show, to make a point that now 55% of the people can be easily mind controlled with whatever reinforcements programming through the blue light and the computer itself, so that you don't have to have the natural handling they might have done in the early days of the Manchurian candidate, paperclip 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then the updated models, which now are eugenically streamlined, probably through little alien tweaking as well, I would think. Still, for example, and he was giving an example of people that he knew who were like high level CEOs of these technology companies, the digital technology, Silicon Valley people who are extremely brilliant, Mensa level intelligence, but they didn't have discernment. And they were still mind controlled, and they might have had children who were more autistic, and they went ahead and took the poisons that they're being instructed to supposedly help them, so they're more compliant with order
Treatment.
following, goes against the human instinct to have discernment and know what is right, but they're extremely intelligent. So this is where the high intelligence is knocking out, is actually knocking out the emotional intelligence, the intelligence, and they're under mind control more easily. So
Yes,
this tells
absolutely.
you that those extreme intelligence don't mean nothing when it comes to spiritual
No, no,
discernment
no.
and emotional intelligence.
You see this with the military, especially the fast jet flyers. Fast jet pilots, these tier one operators, guys with Delta and what have you. I mean, they're brilliant intellectually. They're the gentleman assassins, the jet pilots. They can just do all kinds of things very fast. There's the old saying, you don't want to get behind the airplane because if you do, then you're gonna, you crash, right? So they can think at that level, but they don't realize that everything they're doing is leading not only to their own demise, but the demise of civilization. Because at this late stage in the game, if they haven't figured out the basics, like who or what was really behind 9/11, Oklahoma City, USS Liberty, all that, if they don't even know that very basic stuff, And they're still saying, yeah, we got to go to war with Russia. We got to go to war with China. It's like, no, you guys are part of the problem. Like, don't go around waving the flag and try to big shot me that you're some kind of combat veteran when they are waving the banner of these corporate entities run by non-human beings, by the way, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And just stupidly deluding. Just you know why? Part of the problem, a big part, is ego. Because if they were to accept the fact that they've been fed nothing but lies all this time, that directly impacts their ego, their reason for being, they can justify, well, you know, they spent all of this time and money and resource on me to train me up to do all these things, and I might as well go along with it because what else am I going to do, right? That's a very weak argument. It really is. And so that's what we're seeing now. All these people on these naval warships, these aircraft carriers, they're just sitting duck. They're going to be taken out in a wider war. And, you know, before we end this first segment, the historical fact that prior to enduring the onset of whether it's plagues, Black Death, World War, large wars, large regional wars, there's always been this pervasive presence of aliens, non-human beings, right? And you talk about the blue light emanating from these digital devices. It has to be a blue light, right? Blue light,
Yes.
blue beam. Blue light, blue beam. You see the
Oh, yeah, I heard
connection
about
there.
that with the blue dust, the Luciferian blue dust with the
Yes.
ritual abuse people, where the blue dust had something to do with Lucifer's shroud or covering that owned them, and I don't know, created these weird things, but I don't understand it. So Amanda Bies is the expert on that one. But yeah.
I remember having these discussions with Helga Moro way back when, and we talked about how some of these blue lights or blue energy fields that pop up, that she was a world-class psychic. I know that for a fact. She had
Yeah.
an instant repulsion to the blue light syndrome because her and Gary were driving along. I forget where they were, and then it was a lonely, deserted mountain road. And they had to stop their car because in front of them was this blue energy field, right? And then,
Yeah, really?
if you go back to all the stories and all the research compiled over the years, people that have had encounters with a blue light energy field have had severe problems. And there seems to be a weird time distortion element to it, right? It's like it's something that you want to avoid. And here is this weird blue light coming out of all these digital devices. And I've said from the beginning that these digital devices that everyone carries around virtually, including children, the
Yeah.
direct outgrowth of what was found at the Roswell debris field and other crash sites, and also these alien transfer programs between one or more ET groups and the aerospace DFLAC industry, right? So instead of using that technology for our benefit, it's just used to enslave us, right? So the blue light flash blue beam aspect, you talk about the societal conditioning, confirmation bias. The surface level type, the blue beamers, they'll go on all day, blow smoke about how, oh, the mainstream media, they lie about everything, they lied about the treatments. They lied about the scamdemic. They lied about 9/11. Oh, but when they talk about the drones, 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 oh, just amazing the alacrity with which they accepted that narrative. Isn't it? It's
Yeah, I
like, oh,
know.
yes. Thank you, mainstream media. Thank you, government. They're drones. They're drones. But
Right.
you look at the behavior of some of these so-called drones, right? Like a law enforcement officer. Once again, the eyewitness accounts are being ignored or marginalized. A law enforcement officer in New Jersey says a swarm of upwards of 50 illuminated drones came out of the ocean. Who or what is going to imbue that kind of capability into a mere drone? Have an
Yeah,
underwater base,
more going on.
illuminated, somehow waterproof, right? And be able to move around as a group. Airline pilots, airline crews are seeing clusters of these drones, so-called, and that either
Yeah.
these drones are following them at 35, 37,000 feet, or they just keep flying, and they just see more and more of them outside the plane. It's like a never-ending trail of them, right? And the ability of these drones, to use their term, to eject other similar sized drones. And I've seen video of what I would say, okay, that looks to me like a drone. This big oversized model thing, and they put like, these woo-woo lights. They're not really woo-woo to those who've seen real alien crap. There's an ethereal, it's not just the luminosity and the intensity of the lights, but there's some kind of weird ethereal kind of aspect to it, which the words fail me. I cannot convey adequately what I've seen and what others have seen. You can somewhat see on videos that some of these lights, they're not earthly lights, okay? The point of relevance is what we're seeing with the behavior of a lot of these UFOs. They're not UAPs, they're not drones. I'm sure drones have been thrown into the mix, right? And I'm sure that advanced craft based on alien technology are thrown into the mix too. They've been there for a long time anyway. But the narrative of drones and how people just dogmatically go along with that narrative, people who haven't spent 1 hour studying the mountains of evidence of alien craft and what have you, there are accounts of triangular craft in the 1880s. 1880s. Okay? That's not the TRB-3 in the
Oh, yeah.
1880s. Lockheed wasn't around back then. Raytheon wasn't around back then, right? But it's using the gullibility and the confirmation bias of these blue beamers, right? And all their narcissistic traits are coming out. Don't fall for blue beam. Don't fall for the fake alien invasion, right?
it's yeah. I think the Mac guy brought that up in his interview with Michael Sala about Elizondo actually had a reason to say or infer, well, that this is a danger, like, because they knew that there were wars going on over humans, and that there really is actually a threat. And that, I believe, that's confirmed in some of the things that I've just kind of came across with this podcaster named Sargel 18. But I found out through Bruce Cornett, who's a longtime experiencer that I've known for years, who had many experiences and knew this guy named Sargel 18 because he would photograph and videotape things from a vortex in New Jersey around the, I think it's called Wanacue Reservoir. But we can talk about that later. But basically, I saw a bunch of videos because of Bruce Cornett telling me about him and how he would take him to this vortex, and they would literally see and photograph interdimensional beings coming through this tear in the interdimensional area, which he claimed that because of a really bad fire or something that occurred in like 1998, the tear or interdimensional rip in that vortex area got worse, and many of these interdimensional beings basically got out. And some of them were actually dangerous interdimensionals that had many different shapes and forms. A lot of times they're just orbs or weird kind of faces or animal looking or dragons and stuff. But he did report on some of the videos that are still online. He doesn't get very many views, and it's kind of like, why is he not getting views if it's true that he was actually hired by alphabet soup agencies? I don't know if it's DARPA and another couple to not actually reveal too much because he's the expert in this particular portal in New Jersey. But basically what he was saying recently was that, this interdimensional tear happened in 1998 when they were doing a lot of photographing and videotaping. And then basically he's putting a lid on a lot of this because it really is such a danger. And he
Absolutely.
seems to think that there's more beings coming out because there are rips. And
There are
so
rips.
this is the real danger, and this is the reason why. Well, how come there's so much in the New Jersey area? Well, that's where the rip and the tear is.
There's three things before I forget. Okay. A podcast with Jeff Brady is coming out again. Jeff Brady, coincidentally, providentially, has done most of his work in New Jersey and New York, and there's no one better, in my estimation. I mean, he talks about UFO mimicry, how they can assume guys, oh, look, that's a cluster of balloons. No, keep watching the video. That
Oh, are you kidding?
cluster of balloons starts changing shape and becomes more solid and other things, right? So I'm going to have him to address this whole issue. It's a brilliant interview. I can't wait till it comes out.
Like the
Second,
helicopters.
oh,
Mac
yes.
brought you up on that video, and because all these black helicopters are basically following them, which happens commonly with abductees who are,
Yes, yeah,
waking up, right? And then they're really UFOs of
But they're
shapeshifter
really
that
UFOs.
come.
That's another thing about it too, which a lot of these surface level truthers will never understand because their minds are so kind of like brainwashed, basically. Like Tom Dongo on my news feed in Facebook put out something that, he talked about seeing one of these orbs. Everyone talks about orbs these days, shapeshift into a plane. Okay, and he was observing it. This is over at the over in Sedona, either at or near the Bradshaw Ranch. He was standing alongside Bill Hamilton, the great Bill Hamilton. You remember Bill from the past, right? And when they observed this orb pop up, and then it shapeshifted into a plane and then flew away, Bill casually remarked, "I saw the same thing in the Tehachapi Mountains." Remember how Bill was, right? That soft-spoken way he spoke. So, point of relevance is, right? It's these orbs, some of them at least, can shapeshift into structured, solid, what appear to be terrestrial craft, mundane terrestrial craft like airplanes, right?
Or beings, or they can literally
Or
3D map
beings.
beings like winged Dracos, or
Yes.
like picture of the faces and the orbs of the being that's traveling around in that form,
That's right,
kind of like
because,
a hexagonal Merkaba thing, and then you see like their face in it.
well, yeah, I've had Merlana Mercana on my show, and then she's done a whole bunch of research, and you zoom into the orbs, so-called, that a lot of people are seeing. These are actually conveyances. You can see the faces, the heads of little grays and other ETs in these orbs, right? So what we're talking about here, folks, is a lot of you that have followed Evie's work and my work and done your own investigations over the years, you already know this. Like the surface level types, it's just so over their heads. They're automatic mind control, brainwashing, knee-jerk response to be dismissive of all of us because, oh, the mainstream media says these are just drones, right? And so they go along with it. They'll rubbish everything else the mainstream media says, but in this regard, oh yeah, they're totally on board. They're drones. So we're talking about orbs that can shapeshift into structured craft. Over the years, we've had these mystery helicopters. I'm not talking about black op helicopters. I'm talking about mysterious alien craft that pretend to be helicopters. Okay? People have seen craft shapeshift into helicopters before. There was problems in the Vietnam War along the DMZ, demilitarized zone, where they stationed a lot of the Marine units, the U.S. Marine units along the DMZ. To battle the North Vietnamese army coming down from the north. And along the DMZ were swarms of these mystery helicopters. The NVA didn't have these helicopters, North Vietnamese army. They weren't American helicopters. All the helicopters the CIA were using were being used to transport drugs out of Laos and other places. So it wasn't them either, right? Leonard Stringfield, the late, great Leonard Stringfield, has the case. In one of his books, he talked about how in total fog, low cloud ceiling weather, observers and listeners on the ground heard what sounded to them like a propeller driven plane, because that's all they had back then, just flying around for hours above them in the cloud cover, which at that stage in that time, they didn't have all the advanced capabilities, blind flying that they have today. General James Doolittle actually invented all that back way back then, like the ability to fly without actually seeing out of the airplane. That hadn't been developed yet. So somebody was up there flying around for hours without the need to refuel, making sounds like an airplane, although they couldn't see it. And this was heard by people on the ground. It was commented upon at the time, and Stringfield pointed this out. Like, what was that? What could mimic the sound of an airplane for hours in low cloud ceiling, zero visibility, right? So, point of relevance is these things have been going on. And when I have Jeff Brady back on, the UFO mimicry, how they can assume the guise of seemingly mundane things like kites or balloons or clusters of balloons, but they're not. When you watch the video, I mean, they've got an internal light source. They're changing shape. Parts of the clusters of balloons are gaining solidity, right? And they're ejecting other things coming out of it. So, the casual observer looks at balloons. You show a video of these things to a blue beamer. Balloons. No, they're not balloons. You're just a coward because you won't watch the whole damn video and make up your own mind. And that's the problem. They think they've made up their own mind about these subjects. No, someone else made up their mind for them. And it's like so many of these of them are Christian Zionists too. It's like, haven't you read your Bible? What about this whirlwind? That's described in Exodus. What about the parting of the Red Sea? You think drones did that? What do you think about Ezekiel, the wheels within wheels? Was it, did Raytheon make that like centuries ago, 2,000 years ago? It's like,
No.
it's
I
like.
saw that BB333 just had, like, within the past week. I don't know when this happened, but it was like an Ezekiel wheel within wheel plasma type UFO, two of them being seen in the sky. It was like a nighttime. So it was kind of blurry, but it was literally wheels, like a circular thing, and then like wheels within the wheels turning around inside the cylinder thingy. And but they were more like cloudy. But yeah, that was like a classic wheels within wheels Ezekiel thing, which is not a drone. That was definitely a
Well,
plasma, whatever it was. Yeah, it
Jeff
was
Brady, I
different.
talk about it. It's like from an earthly engineering perspective, we talk about, form follows function. And you look at some of the videos that he's got, there's these things tumbling, constantly rotating. It's like, what's the form? What's the function? What's the engineering perspective on that? Why is it doing that? Why doesn't it stay stable? Is it occupied? And see, by invoking the talismanic invocation, as Michael Tesserian would call it, of the term drones. That implies none of them are piloted, none of them are crewed. It also obviates the possibility that even some of them are man-made advanced craft. No, they're all drones. Certainly obviates the possibility that they're alien or non-human craft with crews on board. And the irony is some of these advanced man-made craft are jointly crewed. There are aliens on board, and it's not just crewed by humans only. There's like what appear to be greys and other ETs on board too. So it's a level of understanding that's beyond the ken of understanding for a lot of these surface level types. And unfortunately, what they're doing is they're malignly influencing. They are now an arm of the propaganda apparatus. They are. The whole mainstream, all these info warriors, right? They're now an arm of the propaganda machine. And it's so easy to influence them because it's a confirmation bias. And because they haven't done their homework. For example, in the Old and the New Testament, there's like this much reference to sky vehicles. In the apocryphal text, you'll find lots of
Translations
stuff.
of like the Robert Price material. In fact, I mentioned this before because I have the pre-Nicene New Testament translated by Robert Price, I believe his name. And then in the Revelation, they talk about like in the end times when all this return of Jesus comes. It's also Matthew 24, but some of the translation was that Jesus basically is returning in his, they called it cloud chariots, the many thousands of cloud chariots coming in great brilliance. But that translation is rarely seen in some of the more canonical texts. But if you look like Ella Bain, LeBain talks about that. Many different translations will show these things have been around for a long time, these kinds of
And
crafts.
every culture around the world, and I've seen UFOs create their own cloud bank to hide in. Barry H. Dowding wrote The Bible and Flying Saucers, right? You look at the work of Mauro Baglino, where he's just taken the Old Testament. He knows Hebrew, he knows the ancient languages, and he just deconstructed them. They're talking not necessarily here in this particular text about, the spirit beings. You talk about flesh and blood being who are flying around in vehicles. And then you look at the work of, Dan Armstrong has come up with a lot of great work in the recent past. And I've had, other guests talk, breaking it down, Aramaic, Hebrew, Arabic, what have you, and they all refer to the same thing. These visitors, these sky gods, these beings coming in these celestial boats, what have you. And to the point of relevance with the Old and New Testament as it's presented to us today, you compare that with the texts from all over the world, from Asia, from India, what have you, where there are just volumes and volumes of references. Not just the sky gods, but to wars between the sky gods over and over and over again. And there's an analog with the Norse mythology and the Greek mythology as well, but certainly in the Asian and other mythologies. And I was just reading a book about this special operation in Borneo. The Allied Intelligence Bureau, a team of Australian special operations guys, parachuted into Borneo and were to hook up with a primitive tribe called the Dayaks, right? So these guys come out of the sky in parachutes. And then the Dayak tribesmen look up. Their frame of reference is they have a name for their particular sky god, right? And it was like they look up and they see these billowing parachutes and they're coming down in the sky. It's like they're not thinking, oh, modern day special operations types, parachuting into the forest. They're thinking the sky gods have returned, you see?
Oh.
So even in the interior of Borneo, they have this mythos, this narrative of these sky gods and these sky gods returning, right? And see, that's a lot of information to unpack that these surface level types are just too lazy to delve into. But anyhow, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our guest, Evie Lorgan. Evie, can you let our listeners and viewers know how they can find your work?
Yeah, I have a Telegram channel called Alien Love Bite, and you could find out the link through my website that's on the homepage somewhere. But I'm going to be redoing both of my books, like updating like a second edition of both The Love Bite and The Dark Cupid. Hopefully be done by, spring next year, February-ish or around that time. So I'm working on that, and that's going to keep me pretty busy. So I'm just eager to share that because Bookjackers had made it difficult to get my Love Bite book and have hijacked and pirated a lot of my stuff. So I'm just going to redo it
A
and make
whole
it
nother
better.
story. Yeah, it's a whole nother story. It's just shameful what's going on. So anyhow, thank you, Evie, and for our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member. We'll see you at the top of the next segment.